As we have said already, we're coming this morning to look at another one of God's attributes, one of God's moral attributes, one that is closely connected with the previous three that we have been considering over the last number of Lord's days, namely God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. And if you take those three particular attributes, God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, and you join them all together, they find their expression in an experimental way whenever we consider God's compassion. Because God's compassion is whenever God in love and in mercy reaches down and displays and communicates in a very real manner His love and His mercy and His grace to an individual. God is a compassionate God. And if we can grasp something today of God's compassion, it ought to give the child of God a renewed assurance of salvation. It ought to comfort every heart. It ought certainly to humble us as well as challenge us in the manner in which we live. Now, it is true that human beings can and do display a degree and a level of compassion. The Bible teaches us this very clearly. We think of Pharaoh's daughter whenever she was down by the banks of the River Nile and she was washing herself and she found that ark that was made from bulrushes and she opened it up and it says that whenever she saw the little child, the baby Moses inside it, behold, the babe wept. And suddenly the heart of Pharaoh's daughter was moved and it said she had compassion on him. And who but couldn't have compassion upon a little baby that had all the appearances of being abandoned by its guardians on this earth, put into a little ark, helpless, floating down the Nile, found lodged amongst the bulrushes, weeping and crying. And this woman who was the child of Pharaoh was moved with compassion. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we read about the Good Samaritan. And others had passed by that man who was found there lying in the street. He'd fallen amongst thieves. He had been beaten up and left for dead. And whenever the Samaritan man came along, it says he saw him. And the result was that he had compassion on him. And then we read about the Philippian jailer who took Paul and Silas back to his own house. And the scripture says he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He was compassionate towards these two men. Having had his conscience awakened, he took them into his home, he fed them, he washed them, he housed them, and he showed compassion to them. Then we think of the Apostle Paul. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 28, he has been shipwrecked along with some others. They arrived at this little island called Mileta. And that island was full of barbarians, barbarous people. And whenever they found Paul and others that had been shipwrecked, Paul testified and said, "They showed us no little kindness, but rather they kindled a fire. And they received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold." Now, these were godless people, barbarians. And yet, for whatever reason, their hearts were moved with compassion whenever they saw these men that were poor and needy. And then moving on, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church, the Hebrew believers, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 34, he reminds them of the time, he says, "Ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." And he reminds them, "You were so good to me, you bestowed your belongings and your goods upon me, and you were compassionate towards me." So mankind and humanity can show compassion. Even the unconverted, the non-Christian, can show compassion. There are those that work with charitable organizations. There are doctors and nurses and those in the caring profession. And they are compassionate towards other people. Human beings can display compassion. And I believe that is evidence that God is still gracious to this world. He allows us to display goodness and kindness, the one towards the other. And it also indicates, I believe, that though fallen, we are still made in God's image. And certainly the Christian, above all others, ought to display compassion towards his fellow man. But there is no compassion like the compassion of Almighty God. And that's our subject for this morning, the compassion of God. Now we could study the scriptures and we would come to the conclusion that in the Bible we have a very clear declaration of God's compassion. Again and again and again within the pages of this precious book, God declares the fact that he is a compassionate God. For example, we read in Psalm 78 and verse number 38, he being full of compassion. And then the text that we read earlier, Psalm 86 and verse 15, thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Psalm 111 and verse number 4, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 112 and verse 4, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Psalm 145 and verse number 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. So the Bible makes the declaration that God Almighty, the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, the God of creation, the only wise God, is a God who is compassionate. Now people, Christian people as well, can be plagued with feelings of guilt, a sense of unworthiness, feelings that perhaps God could never love me. I have sinned willfully, willingly. I have broken the law of God. I have sinned even since professing faith in Jesus Christ. And there is no way that God could ever love me or show mercy towards me. But listen, God says, I am compassionate. I am full of compassion. And it may be this morning that you find yourself in this meeting house and you think, there's no mercy for me. God could not love me. God could not forgive my sin. God could not change my life. God could not receive me. God could not accept me because I have sinned. I've let the Lord down. I've done so many things and I'm so ashamed of myself. And I'm a sinner. How much less could a God who is so holy, a God who knows all about me, a God who knows that I've broken my vows, a God who knows that I've gone back on my promises, a God who knows things that nobody else knows, how could a God like that show mercy, grace and love to me? It's because God declares in his word and God tells us, listen, I am a compassionate God. He wants us to understand this. He wants us to know this. He wants us to believe this. Because in so many different ways, God in his word declares, I am full of compassion. He declares it in his word. But the word needs definition. What does the compassion of God mean? What does that little phrase mean? Whenever we talk about God being a God of compassion and God being compassionate, what do we really mean? Or what does God mean? What does he mean when he says in his word that he is a compassionate God? Then the Old Testament Hebrew word for compassion comes from a root, raham, and it literally means to love deeply. To love deeply, to be sympathetic, or even to be sorrowful towards one who is struck with affliction or misfortune. And it also carries with it the desire to relieve that individual of their suffering. We see this on a human level. Pharaoh's daughter, she saw this ark of bulrushes. She lifted the lid off it. She saw a little baby lying in that ark. The child was weeping, probably tired, hungry, maybe even cold or uncomfortable. We're not sure how big the child was, but her heart was moved whenever she saw this little one struck with affliction, and she was sympathetic and she was moved deeply toward it. And then the New Testament word that is translated compassion in our English Bible literally means to have bowels that yearn. And it means to be moved and to feel sympathy from the very deepest part of our beings. And whenever it relates to Almighty God, we get this picture of a God who is deeply moved, a God who is emotional, a God who is sympathetic, a God who in a sense is sorrowful, a God who loves deeply, a God who yearns, and a God who has a desire to relieve suffering that has been caused in the lives of individuals. Now, it is hard to believe, isn't it, that a God who is so holy could be moved with compassion towards people like us who are so unholy, who are so sinful, who have rebelled against God, who have willfully, consciously broken God's law. And there's nothing lovable about any of us. The Bible tells us that we are all as an unclean thing. We are by nature the children of wrath. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We are all as an unclean thing. We are rebels against God, enemies of God. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us that God is still a God who is compassionate. I remember living in Australia, talking to the mayor of the little town that we lived in, and he had been brought up, as we got talking, in the confines of a Christian home. He said his mother was a Christian. We had been speaking at a Remembrance Day service, and he came over to talk to me after, and we got talking. And he says, I was brought up in a Christian home. And I challenged him and says, well, what about you? Are you a Christian? And he says, no, I'm not, because I've got many questions. He said, I sometimes wonder why God doesn't just wipe this whole earth out and start again. He says, I look at the way people are living, and he says, I know that if I was God, I would just wipe it all out and I would start again. And I says, Mr. Davis, that's the difference between us and God. God is long-suffering. Yes, God sees the sin in this world. And yes, God hates it. And yes, God is angry at it. And yes, God is grieved by it. But God is a compassionate God. And God is a God who is long-suffering. And God doesn't give up on people the way you or I do. But God calls people to faith and calls people to repentance. God is a compassionate God, because as God looks down upon this world and God looks down upon mankind, he still sees, even though we're all sinners and we've rebelled against heaven, he still sees that we are made in the image of God, and God is still compassionate towards his creation. So you have the declaration of God's compassion, a definition of God's compassion. But let's consider briefly some of the distinctives of God's compassion. What is the compassion of God like? Well, we read several times already in the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, verse 15, our text for this morning. It says, Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. And that tells me this morning that God's compassion is an abundant compassion. God is full of compassion. This verse of Scripture is telling us this morning that God's compassion is not in short supply. God is full of compassion. The Bible says that God is plenteous in mercy. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And the Word of God tells us that God is abundantly gracious. And so it is, therefore, with his compassion. He is full of compassion. Anyone who knows God, anyone who has experienced God's salvation, surely knows that God is full of compassion, even whenever we let the Lord down as Christian people, and we sin against Him, and we come before the throne of grace again, and we confess our sin, and we confess our waywardness, and we realize that the promises of God are as good today as they were 2,000 years ago, and God forgives us, and we have this sense that God has been merciful, and God has heard my cry, and God has cleansed me, and we realize that He forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives, and He's merciful every day, and God's compassion is an abundant compassion. Friends, it's a wonderful thing. You can never exhaust the mercy of God. You can never dig so deep that you get to the bottom of God's grace. You can never get to a place where God, as a Christian, His mercies and His compassions fail, because they don't. He is a God full of compassion. His compassion is abundant. His compassion as well is gracious. We are told in the book of 2 Kings chapter 13 concerning the people of Israel after the death of Elisha, whenever a godless king, Jehoahaz, was sitting upon the throne in the nation of Israel. And the children of Israel were under affliction by the Assyrian people. And they had really turned their backs upon the Lord. And we're told in 2 Kings 13:23, and the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of how good they were? No. Because of anything that they had done? No. Because of their good works? No. Because of their sincerity? No. But it says, because of His covenant, He would not destroy them, neither cast He them from His presence as yet. God was gracious. And grace is God's unmerited favor. And God says concerning these people that because of His graciousness, He had compassion towards them. And folks, it's only today, because God is a God of grace, that God shows compassion toward us. Sometimes whenever we sin against God and we let the Lord down, don't we often come before the Lord and say, well, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do the other thing and I'll try harder and I'll pray more and I'll give more and I'll read more and I'll go to more meetings and I'll not let you down again. And we make all of these vows and all of these promises, and then whenever we can't keep them, we feel even more guilty. But we need to realize that the only thing that causes God to be compassionate toward us is because God is gracious. And we can't earn or merit, and we don't deserve God's compassion, but because God is gracious, God displays compassion. And so I don't need to worry. I don't need to look at my life and say, have I done enough? Am I performing well enough? Am I praying enough? And yes, we have to try our best, and we have to do what God wants us to do. And yes, we should be obedient, and we should pray. But by looking at all those things, I find no assurance of acceptance with God. But whenever I read that God is gracious and full of compassion, I discover that yes, I can come before God on the authority of His Word, because He's a covenant-keeping God. And then something else about God's compassion. God's compassion is unfailing. It never fails. Do you remember how Jeremiah said in Lamentations and chapter number 3? He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God's compassion, it never, never fails. It fails not. His compassions, they fail not. The prophet Isaiah asked us a question in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. He said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? You would think that the answer to that question would be no. Of course a woman could not forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon her womb. A woman could never do that, but yet the Bible says, yea, she may forget. It is possible. I don't know if you listened to the news back there in the month of May, but it carried the story of a, of a person who was out walking and they found this bag at the side of the road. It was just outside the city of Dublin. And as they were walking past that bag, they saw it move and they heard a noise and they opened the bag and they found a little baby inside, only 2 or 3 weeks old, inside a bag, abandoned at the side of the road. And they took the little child off to the hospital, and I read recently that it's doing well. They've called it Maria, and they're looking for the child's mother. They can't find her. And the little child was just abandoned. Her mother had forgotten to be compassionate. Her compassion somehow had failed. And yet God says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God's compassions never fail. God never fails. His compassion is abundant. His compassion is gracious. His compassion is unfailing. His compassion is sovereign. We read in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 15 that God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God has no obligation to show compassion to us, because we're all sinners and rebels against God. Don't think that somehow God has an obligation towards you or towards anyone. God has no obligation, as long as man goes on in his sin, to show compassion. But yet God still is a compassionate God. Our sins cry out for justice, but God's sovereignty oftentimes displays compassion. And that leads on to our next thought, the display of God's compassion. How is God's compassion displayed to this world? Well, in Old Testament times, there are those that say, well, God was different in the Old Testament. Have you ever heard people say that? Modernists and liberals. And they'll say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New. And the God of the Old Testament was austere, and he was stern, and he was angry, and he always executed judgment, and he always executed justice. But the God of the New Testament is love, and he's merciful, and he's kind, and he's good, and all the rest of it. But friend, the God of the Bible cannot be divided. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. And the New Testament still speaks about God's wrath, still speaks about God's justice, still speaks about God's righteousness, still speaks about God's anger. And the Old Testament spoke about God's grace and God's goodness and God's kindness and God's love and God's mercy. And it also spoke about God's compassion. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 3, whenever God said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sorrows. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I am come down to deliver them. What was God doing there? He was showing the fact, I am compassionate. I have seen these people. I see their sorrows. I hear their cry. I know about their afflictions, and I am come down. And then we read in Psalm 78, we read it a little bit earlier, Psalm 78, 38, he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. God displays the fact that he's compassionate by coming down and delivering sinners from their affliction and forgiving their sin. But more than anywhere else, we see the compassion of God displayed in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse number 18, our Lord and Savior, he says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ displayed and declared everything that God was to this world, because he was God and is God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you study the scriptures and you see right throughout the gospels how Christ displayed compassion to individuals. In the gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20, verse 30 to 34, there were 2 blind men and they sat by the wayside, and when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out. And it says in verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Then we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse number 41, about a leper. And it says, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 13, we read about a widow woman from a place called Nain. She had a need in her life. And the word of God says that Jesus again was moved with compassion. Whenever he met individuals and he saw their needs, he was moved with compassion. And all of these instances remind us of man's natural condition in his sin, blind, dead, and defiled with the leprosy of sin. And then in the dealings that Christ had with families, he was compassionate. Luke chapter 11, or John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible, and it says that Jesus wept. And that shows his compassion. Why was he weeping? Because he saw a family, Mary and Martha, and they'd lost their brother Lazarus, and they were brokenhearted, and the Lord entered into the affairs of that family and the affliction of that family, and he wept with those who wept. We see the Lord's humanity as well as his deity in Scripture. And then whenever you look at the Scriptures, you see the Lord's compassion towards not just individuals, not just families, but towards multitudes as well. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse number 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, for they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. You read about it again, Matthew 14:14, Matthew 15:32. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Christian, can I ask you this morning, do you ever see the multitudes as they really are? The Lord Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look in the fields, they're white and ready to harvest. But he didn't just see the multitudes. Whenever he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Whenever we see a world that's lost in sin, does it move us? Does it ever move you to the place of prayer? Does it ever move you to the closet? Does it ever move you to go to the church prayer meeting? Does it ever move you to go and witness to that person? Does it ever move you to tears? Whenever the Lord saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When he saw the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, because he saw them in all of their sin. And then on the cross, he displayed his compassion again for the multitudes. He prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He thought about his own family, and he turned around looking at his mother who was there at the foot of the cross, and he said to John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. And he was seeing to it that after he left this world, that his beloved disciple John would look after his mother. So he was compassionate even on the cross towards the multitudes, towards the families, and also towards the individual, because he said to the dying thief, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he's been compassionate towards us. Going to that cross, bearing shame, scoffing rude, and our place condemned he stood. And then in revival, God is compassionate. What is revival? But God showing his compassionate nature toward a people that don't deserve it. Jeremiah 12 and 15, God says, it shall come to pass that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them again, every man to his heritage, every man to his land. He's speaking of restoration. That's what revival is. And this land needs to experience the compassion of Almighty God. And then the last thing about God's compassion is that God's people need to demonstrate God's compassion to this world in which we are living. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, this world is not waiting for a new definition of Christianity. It's waiting for a new demonstration of Christianity. And all across our world today, all across this province, people are trying to redefine what a Christian is. Ravenhill says, the world doesn't need that. The world needs a new demonstration of Christianity. Robert Murray McShane said, what is a Christian? A Christian is just a person who makes it easier for others to believe in God. That's what a Christian should be. If we are living the Christian life, people who are skeptical should look at our lives and say, well, there's certainly evidence that there's a God in the life of that person there. But you know the great tragedy is? That sadly today, God's people oftentimes make it more difficult for people to believe that there's a God. You know what I sometimes believe the best argument that the atheist has? It's not found in science. It's not found in history. It's not found in learning. It's not found in education. But the best argument that the atheist has is oftentimes the way Christian people live their lives. You look at the way some people live and they say that they're saved and they sometimes don't even go to church. They fight with God's people. They don't pray. They don't witness. They don't do anything for the Lord. They're bitter. They're proud. They're critical. They're condescending. They gossip. They backbite. And the world's supposed to look at that and say, that's Christianity? Scripture says that if we love Him, we should keep His commandments. Now, the Word of God says that Christians should show compassion the one towards the other. The Word of God tells us in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse number 9, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Now, Christian, if you can't show compassion towards your brother or sister in Christ, regardless of what you think they are or what you think they have done, something is radically wrong with your Christianity. The Bible says we're to show compassion every man to his brother. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 8 says, finally, this is the last thing that Peter wants his people to hear. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Have compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. My friend, it's not being very compassionate, very courteous whenever you can't speak to another brother, or you can't shake a sister's hand, or you can't pray for them or pray with them or fellowship together. Something's wrong. This is what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. John says, how does the love of God dwell in a person like that? So we need to show compassion to each other. And then we need to show compassion towards the ignorant, those who don't know the gospel. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 2 says, every priest ought to have compassion upon the ignorant. Now, it's the easiest thing in the world for a Christian to sit in their ivory palace and to look down at this society and see the sinner and see the ungodly and the way they live and the things that they say and the things that they do. And yes, it should concern us. Yes, we should be grieved by sin. But the Bible says the high priest ought to have compassion upon the ignorant. And folks, there are people out there in this society of ours, masses of people in this town of ours, and they have absolutely no working knowledge of the gospel. And we can condemn them, and we can point the finger at them, and we can scold them for not going to church, and for not reading the Bible, and for not keeping the commandments, and living ungodly lives, but many of them are ignorant of the gospel. And then lastly, we need to show compassion toward the lost. The little epistle of Jude, the penultimate book of the Bible, Jude verse 22, of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Have compassion upon the lost. Have compassion. And Jude says, this will make a difference. This will make a difference. And maybe that's the thing, that why we're not making a difference in our society, because we know the truth up here, and rather than using it as a lifeline. We use it as a rod to beat people with. And Jude says, have compassion, make a difference. Pull them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. William Gladstone was 3 times the Prime Minister of England. One night, fearing a crisis in his political career, he sat until 2:30 in the morning, preparing a speech, which he hoped would win a political victory in the House of Commons the next day. And as he was preparing that speech, 2:00 in the morning, there was a knock at the door. He opened the door and he saw this young mother, tears rolling down her cheeks. Her son, who was a cripple, was on his deathbed. And she didn't know where to go apart from the house of William Gladstone. She pleaded with him. She says, Mr. Gladstone, can you come and speak to my boy and try to bring a message of hope? Gladstone was a Christian. Immediately he left everything that he was doing. He went to the home of that dying cripple and spent the entire night leading the boy to faith in Jesus Christ. Wasn't able to finish his speech for the next day. But you know what he said? He says, I went home with a smile of confidence, peace and power. He said to a friend, I am the happiest man in the world today. And he had been used of God to save a tenement child from an eternity in hell. And for him that was worth more than all of the gain of this world. He was compassionate. You see, the Christian who shows compassionate can experience the child of God. Folks, today God is compassionate. And he wants us to be compassionate also. Maybe today you're not saved, or you've grown cold at heart and you've wandered from God. You say, what's God's word for me this morning? God's word for you is God is compassionate. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the unrighteous forsake his way. Let him forsake his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and to your God. And he will have mercy unto your God, for he will abundantly pardon. He's compassionate. To the Christian, let's recognize God's compassion. Let's rejoice in God's compassion. And let's reflect God's compassion to a world that desperately needs a Savior.